Please the court, Mr. Michael Lowe will argue for appellant, Mr. Charles Wilkinson will argue for the state.
Mr. Lowe?
May it please the court. My name is Michael Lowe. I'm here for Rayanne Trimble. Ms. Trimble was previously a defendant in a criminal matter, a DWI prosecution out of Denton County. Now she's the appellant. She entered into a plea bargain agreement. She's on probation right now. The trial judge, Judge Garcia, certified her right to appeal a pretrial matter, which was a motion to suppress. The basis for the motion to suppress is that in this case, justices, there was no reasonable suspicion or probable cause to detain Ms. Trimble for the DWI that she was subsequently convicted for. Essentially, in this case, we have two different police officers, and the issue presented before the court is whether unreliable information given from one police officer to another police officer can still be enough to detain someone. And I believe in this case, upon looking at the findings made by Judge Garcia and also the facts of the case, it can be pretty clearly demonstrated that the information received by the second detaining officer, that information was unreliable. And there's not a whole lot of dispute on that. Officer, the names, I'll just give you the names of the officers. There's Officer Toth, who is a police officer who's working off-duty, sees some erratic driving behavior. Some of this testimony is developed in the record. The driving behavior causes him, apparently, to call 911 dispatch. He calls 911. In particular, he does not recall from his testimony what he said to the 911 dispatcher. That's pretty clear from the record. He was asked on two different occasions, both by myself and the prosecutor. He says he doesn't recall what he said. He does recall that he gave the make, the model, the license plate number of the vehicle. Subsequently, that there was some information then relayed to a second officer who was on duty, a female officer named Officer Reed. Officer Reed received that information, was able to identify my client's vehicle, and then detain that vehicle. The information that Officer Reed received simply was that there was an intoxicated driver. And she then, based on that information, made a traffic stop. Officer Reed did not, it's very clear from the record, did not observe any other corroborating driving factors to corroborate that statement that she received. The statement she did receive was from a 911 dispatcher. There is no evidence in the record concerning a 911 tape. There's no log or anything like that from the 911 dispatcher. So all we can go off of is the hearsay of what Officer Reed says she was told and what then was subsequently put in her police report and developed through the testimony at the motion to suppress. So Officer Reed essentially says she gets this information, there's an intoxicated driver, and then goes, pulls the car over. It's also clear from the record who the detaining officer is. The detaining officer is the second officer, Officer Reed. The officer, Toth, calls into 911, but certainly he's off duty, so he can't really affect the traffic stop, or he says he can't. So that's the reasoning for calling 911. So what I'm asking the court to do is sort of analyze this case in a way that other cases have been analyzed in the past, where perhaps citizen informants call 911, say, hey, there's a drunk driver, can you please pull this vehicle over? I think that's a similar type of scenario that we have.
I have a question about what's the wreck in the field? What happened there? There's some references in the statement of facts about that the truck might have been involved in a wreck in a field or something.
There was some testimony that allegedly my client's car got off the roadway, but there was no accident in this case. I don't think that was ever, that just didn't happen. So there was no accident in this case. And really there's two levels of facts, if you will, in this case. There's what was developed at the motion to suppress, but then the more specific question we have to look at is what was communicated to 911 dispatch and then what was communicated to Officer Reed, because essentially that's what we have to go off of as far as whether or not there's reasonable suspicion for the detention. And in this case, it's very unclear as to what was communicated to 911 dispatch. And more importantly, it is clear what Officer Reed recalls, that the information that she got. And if you look at Judge Garcia's findings of fact, and I did file a motion subsequent to the hearing, a timely motion, requesting to, you know, sort of pin Judge Garcia down a little bit more on his findings of fact and conclusions of law. He didn't respond to my motion, and then I subsequently filed another motion with the Court of Appeals, and it was denied. But so I guess I can only assume that the Court of Appeals is satisfied with what Judge Garcia said in the record concerning why he made his ruling. But if you look at his reasoning, he clearly says that there was some bad information that was relayed to Officer Reed. So we know that that information was unreliable. So that's from his ruling. But apparently he still believes that if subjectively the off-duty officer, Officer Toth, had enough information, even if he didn't communicate it to 911 dispatch, then that should somehow psychically be relayed to the officer who did make the detention, and that should be valid, you know, a valid reasonable suspicion or articulated reason of unlawful activity. And I simply don't, there is no law for that. So, and what I'm asking the court to do is simply apply the law that exists, and we know what the law is. It's in Brother versus State, Court of Criminal Appeals 2005. You know, when a citizen informant calls 911 dispatch or calls the police about a driver to detain the driver, the court will look at the information both received by the officer that actually makes the detention and also whether or not there's anything there to corroborate that information. So, and they're very specific in how they define corroboration, the Court of Criminal Appeals in 2005. They say it refers to whether the police officer, in light of the circumstances, confirms enough facts to reasonably conclude that the information given to him is reliable and temporary detention is justified. In this case, we're not talking about him, we're talking about a her, but it's the same thing. You know, the Officer Reed did not receive reliable information, and that's sort of undisputed. So, the information she received was that there was an intoxicated driver. Officer Toth clearly said in the testimony, it didn't waver, you know, I never said that. You know, I never told 911 dispatch that I'd formed my opinion that this driver was intoxicated. And certainly, you know, that would be a basis under state law to detain someone, you know.
Didn't Officer Toth go back to the scene once Officer Reed stopped the truck?
That's right. He did.
And clearly identified that as being the truck that he had seen driving on the shoulder.
There's no question he did that. But, you know, again, I'd argue that was subsequent to the detention. So once
But it identified the correct truck as having been the one that created or he observed traffic violations.
There's no question. And there is no question about that in this case. There's no question about that the correct truck was pulled over, that sort of thing. That information, Officer Toth does recall in his testimony that he did give that information correctly to dispatch. That's about the only thing he can recall that he gave to dispatch is the identity of the truck, and he was correctly able to identify the truck. So, but in terms of, subsequent to the detention, you know, the detention's already happened, you can't unring the bell, so that'd be, you know, sort of the argument there. But the information clearly was bad information. Officer Toth clearly stated he had not formed any opinion concerning intoxication, but the law in Texas is clear. You know, there is a way to stop vehicles if the officer can articulate through specific facts and formulate an opinion that they believe the driver is intoxicated. The law has always been that way. In this case, the appellee argues in part that, well, even though Officer Reed received information that wasn't transmitted properly to her, she could have still formulated that opinion, but in the record, it's really not developed. So we don't really know if she had formulated that opinion, and it's sort of speculation, really, to say that. So that's not really developed in the record, clearly. It's sort of a simple appeal. I'm sorry.
Can I ask you, if I can follow you through your presentation, is it your contention that because Officer Reed was told by the dispatcher that the vehicle that she was looking for was one that was being had the driver suspected of DWI, and that didn't say anything about driving on the shoulder of the road, didn't say anything about making the U-turn on an unimproved road in the mud and getting muddy and going on down the road, didn't say anything about the other officers who were contacting dispatch looking for a vehicle that had a wreck in the field. All of that information is within the dispatcher's command, wasn't it?
It's not clear from the record whether it was within the dispatcher's command, but it is implied that Officer Reed did receive other information as well, not just that the driver was intoxicated, but some of the other information that you're talking about.
What was in the record that Officer Reed had made an arrest as opposed to a stop to further investigate whether this vehicle was the one that was being sought over the dispatcher?
The information that she received was the make, the model, the license plate of the vehicle, it was believed that the vehicle was a drunk driver. And then there, I believe, according to her, there was some other information that she received as well about driving behavior. But
my concern is your contention that that Officer Reed was unable to make a stop of that vehicle, recognizing the model and the license number, and then to conduct further investigation as to whether or not a traffic offense or a violation of the criminal law had occurred.
Well, since that's correct, Your Honor. That's exactly what I'm saying. And she is the detaining officer. It's not Officer Toth, who's an off-duty officer. It's not the 911 dispatcher. We have to decide who's making the judgment here and who's making the decision to detain the citizen. And in this case, it's Officer Reed, and she clearly says, I'm the one that made this decision. And from the law, we have to look at the information she received. Was it reliable under the Brother case, and whether or not she could corroborate that information? And if the information's unreliable, and it's undisputed that it's unreliable, then because we know that Officer Toth didn't relay that information to 911 dispatch, then apparently 911 dispatch is making things up or adding things or inflating what was said to it in order to get a vehicle stopped. And that's really not proper. And that doesn't rise to the level of reasonable suspicion under the Brother case. And it's certainly not going to be enough.
Thank you.
I think that's all I have. It's a sort of a simple appeal. So thank you very much if you don't have any other questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lowe. Mr. Orbison.
May it please the court. One of the things I want to correct in terms of what opposing counsel just told you is that it was Officer Toth who testified that he made the decision that the car needed to be stopped. He called it into dispatch and said, stop the car. I've been following it. Here's what it's doing. Stop the car. He testified on cross-examination that it was his call. Now, what Officer Reed testified to is she testified that she made the stop because dispatch told her that this car was at a suspected intoxicated driver and to stop it and detain and investigate. So that's why she stopped the car, is because she was told to. Officer Toth told dispatch to stop the car. Officer Toth would have stopped the car. He was off duty and in an unmarked car, and so he couldn't. So that's what the record shows on why the car was on whose authority, I guess, the car was stopped. The appellant in this case is really doing is confusing the law with citizen informants with other aspects of the law. We don't have a citizen informant. We have a police officer that was right behind the car and saw it commit a traffic violation. Now, truly, there is no dispute about that. Although opposing counsel says we have no dispute that Officer Reed got bad information, I do dispute that. I don't think there's any bad information that Officer Reed got. But we have no dispute that we had an off-duty police officer that observed a traffic violation. Now, we all know that a police officer has the authority to stop and detain a driver who has committed a traffic violation. The violation that was committed in this case is cited in the state's brief. It's section 545.058 of the Transportation Code, driving on an improved shoulder when there's no reason to do so. That's paraphrased. It says four things that you have to be doing, but it really kind of comes down to if you don't have a reason to be driving on an improved shoulder, you shouldn't be there. So this is what Officer Toth directly, personally observed. And this is what is important to the judge in this case. And as you read the record, you'll see how the judge was questioning counsel about, well, didn't the officer see a law being broken? And although that was not disputed and admitted, we go back to, but the officer who, the detained officer, didn't personally see anything and got bad information. Well, what information did the officer who made the stop get? The officer was told that the person was suspected of driving intoxicated. But what else did Officer Reed know? She testified that dispatches had gone out concerning this vehicle, that there had been an accident in the field. Dispatches had gone out about this vehicle that it had been driving illegally on an improved shoulder. Officer Reed had heard those dispatches. She knew that Officer Toth is the one who had actually seen that. She knew where, you know, the model, the make, the color, and all that, and she also knew the location of where the pickup was going to be. So we don't have a citizen informant here, so we have to be concerned about, well, how reliable are they? Did they stay on the scene? Did they give their name? Did they give identifying? We don't need any of that. We have a police officer who testified that when I called in, they recognized me immediately. He is immediately reliable. He is a police officer. He is empowered to pull over a person who has committed a traffic violation. He was off duty in an unmarked car, so he called it in and had dispatch to it. There are, that is the most obvious theory under which this car, this truck, was legally stopped. There are two other theories, depending on how you want to read the record, I suppose. One is, of course, that dispatch had other information that Officer Toth did not have, and that was the possible accident in the field. The record shows that Officer Toth at one point lost sight of the vehicle. Now, he could follow, he could see the muddy tracks, he could see where the truck had gone, and so he alerted dispatch that can't see the truck anymore, but it's clear they went south on Long Prairie Road, so that's where you're going to find him. All right. Now, maybe that car, that truck almost got in an accident in the field after Officer Toth last saw it and before Officer Reed stopped it. We don't know. The record shows that a dispatch went out that this truck was in an accident in the field or almost in an accident in the field or however it is expressed there. So perhaps dispatch knew more than Officer Toth. So dispatch, combining what Officer Toth had said, you know, the driving on a mile and a half on an improved shoulder and actually going through a lighted intersection on the shoulder, then crossing over a lane, through a lane of traffic into a median with striped yellow stripes, and then leaving another road where there was no improved shoulder and doing a U-turn in mud, and all of these things, dispatch can now add to that, well, also it looks like it probably left the roadway and almost got in an accident. That sounds like an intoxicated driver. So the dispatch goes out to stop this car on suspicion of intoxication. So that's another theory under which the stop was legally justified. And the final theory is that even if Officer Toth did not say to dispatch, stop this truck because I think the driver might be intoxicated, he couldn't remember if he had said that or not. He couldn't remember exactly what he had said. He did testify that he had not developed a suspicion of intoxication at the time he called dispatch. Record shows that when he called dispatch, was when the driver had been on the shoulder. So all this crossing through lanes, going into medians where you're not supposed to be, doing U-turns in mud, which is crazy, all of this stuff he had not seen at the time he called dispatch. But at any rate, all of what he did see would have suggested to a reasonably cautious officer that the driver was impaired. And we all know it's an objective standard. It really doesn't matter. In fact, reviewing courts disregard the subjective intent of the officer. They disregard it, and they look at the facts objectively to see if a reasonably cautious officer would have suspected impairment under these circumstances. There was plenty there, I think, to suggest that. So there's really three theories under which the truck was lawfully stopped, and they're all addressed in the state's brief. Are there any questions? State would pray that you affirm the conviction below. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Orbison. Mr. Lowe.
There's three things I'd like to respond to. In terms of whether or not the record represents testimony that Ms. Trimble was impaired prior to the detention, there is no testimony, there is no record for that. Now, we can substitute our own opinions about that, but that is not developed in the record. And there's no officer that comes to court and says, based on my training experience and based on these articulated facts, I believe the vehicle was impaired. And I guess by implication, Appellee may be saying that somehow the dispatcher had received other information that the dispatcher could conclude that the driver of the vehicle was impaired. But we don't. That's not in the record. So, I mean, that's pure speculation. We don't know what the dispatcher knew. Maybe they did formulate some opinion based on other information they received, but we don't know that. So that's not in the record. So that certainly can't be a basis for the traffic stop. And I would urge the court, I'm asking the court to essentially apply the standard in Brother versus State, where a citizen informant calls 911. But even if you apply any other standard, you know, the information is given by a police officer, Officer Toth. And, you know, we all like to think that officers are reliable. But when we know that the information is unreliable, doesn't that rebut any other, you know, I guess, implication that they are reliable? I mean, we know the information is unreliable. It's clear it's unreliable. And even Judge Garcia says it's essentially the information that was relayed to Reed wasn't relayed to 911 dispatch. So we know it's unreliable. And so even if we do apply some other standard that officers always tell the truth and they're always reliable and the information's always good, we know that the information in this case wasn't good. So even with that standard, I don't believe that's enough under the Brother case or any other case to say that Officer Reed had reliable information and based on that, she could make a detention legally. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lowe. Mr. Orbison, we appreciate your briefing and your arguments today. Your case is submitted and you all are excused. If the clerk will now adjourn court, please.